It's time to feel alive with the Summit Drive time.
Oh, we've got a theme song now.
I'm still working on some different options.
In 3 weeks. It's only taken 3 weeks and we have a theme song.
Yeah.
I like it.
Usually it takes people years.
I understand.
I'm Bran.
And I'm Jason.
And this is the Summit Drive time. This is episode 4?
Episode 4. And
goodness gracious.
Get a load of this, faithful listeners.
Yeah.
We're coming to you from our brand new podcast studio.
Yes.
In downtown Greenville.
Yes.
I can't believe that it's been 4 weeks and we already have a studio that they've made for us. This is a nice microphone I'm speaking into. I have a banjo right beside me on the
Give
wall.
Give it a go.
Listen to this,
Give
everybody.
It a go.
So maybe you could work that into the theme song as well. We'll go bluegrass with this thing.
I love it.
Backed by popular demand.
Oh, I hear some extra chuckles in the studio.
Backed
today.
By popular demand. Kyle Estep joining us again today.
Hey, everybody. Good to be back.
This is you.
That voice, it gets me every time. It's just like, oh, can I hear it more? It's like caramel in my ears.
Yeah, it is. Can you share with everyone what you like to do at the beginning of every podcast? Tell them what they can do.
Oh, my goodness. Yes, I'm sorry. You can rate... And you can review the podcast on iTunes. And some of you might be saying, what's so special about iTunes? Are you saying that?
I have said it several times.
Yes. iTunes actually sends out the podcast to multiple different platforms. Okay? And so the reviews from iTunes actually affects a lot of different platforms, not just iTunes.
I don't want to come across as braggadocious.
Yes.
But dozens, plural.
Dozens.
Dozen with an S on the end. Dozens. Of people have reviewed this podcast.
Yes.
Did you know that?
No, I know. Do you want me to read one of them?
Go ahead. Tell us what people are saying out there in the podcast world about this podcast.
Scott said this. Title, nailed it.
Awesome.
Subject. They promised to deliver strong content for 22 minutes, the average American drive time for commute to/from work. And believe it or not, they nailed it. Place your hands on 10 and 2, your eyes on the road. And tune in for a fun ride.
Things I've heard from people.
Yes.
Jason, you have a face for podcasts.
Oh.
That was very nice of them to say that.
That is really nice.
Not making this up. I received text messages from Ohio, Kyle Estep's home state, and
yep.
It wasn't one of his relatives enjoying the podcast.
Yep.
And North Carolina. Who have you heard from? Where have you heard from people?
I have heard from my wife.
Okay. That's good.
And
that's
about
it. That's all you heard.
Yes.
Because Grizzly's not, your son's not talking yet.
But he has heard it, and he didn't cry. So it's a good sign.
Yeah. Right. Well,
I did not send it to my parents yet.
Okay. Well, maybe, eventually.
Yeah.
Well, we're glad everybody's back for another week. 22 to 23 minutes time that we want to spend with you today. Hopefully encouraging you a little bit, making you laugh, sure. But talking about some important things as well. Bran, let's tell everybody what we're talking about today, episode 4.
We are talking about the mission of Summit Church.
Yeah.
The reason we exist.
That's exactly right. And talking about wanting to do a podcast where we talk a little bit about the nature and the purpose of the church, we thought maybe we should kind of start at the beginning, at least the beginning in regards to how we structured ourselves. Now, I know in episode 1, we talked about 11 years. Looking back.
We did.
But we didn't get into the nuts and bolts in
right.
regards to the mission of our church.
Right.
And so from day one, our mission statement, it's actually been the same for 11 years. We exist as a church to give every man, woman, and child the repeated opportunity to see, hear, and respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ without them having to come or go anywhere. Now, that may sound like a mouthful. It may sound like a long mission statement, and it is a little lengthy. But we think it captures a lot of different things in regards to the nature and purpose of the church. And I'm going to toss it over to my good friend
right.
Kyle Estep. He's been here from the beginning to talk with us a little bit about that mission statement and why we chose it.
Kyle, talk to us a little bit about what you want to do today with that mission. In regards to that mission statement, what are we doing?
What are we doing? Well, it is good to be back, Bran. Thanks
oh,
for
my
the
goodness.
Invite. And Jason.
Well, you kind of just walked in. And so I wasn't going to turn you down.
I invited myself.
Well, not only that, we were looking at all the listens out there. And
yeah.
episode 2, when you stepped in, it was hot. I mean, a lot of people mm-hmm. were listening to that one. So why
Strong.
Not bring you back? Go ahead.
And we're going to keep sharing it with friends, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
We keep up in the number every week.
Yep.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I think for us, the idea was when you look at churches all around the country and really around the world, there's obviously a connection to what Jesus commanded his church to be about, to go and make disciples in the world. So you always kind of see a connection to that. And so we wanted to think about evangelism, reaching people who do not know Jesus Christ, and discipleship, giving them access to grow and learn what it means to follow Jesus Christ. And we understand that all of that exists as an extension of God's purposes in the world. It's what God's doing in the world. So it's for His glory. It's for His fame. It's for everything that He wants to accomplish. How do we participate with Him? How has He invited us to participate with Him in that? And I think the idea is from Genesis 1 until the end of the story in Revelation, you get this picture that God is doing something, and He's always invited people to be active participants in that, His people to be actively cooperating with what He's doing in the world. So Genesis 1, God created people for relationship and representation. I'm inviting you into what it means to know Me, to be known by Me, but I'm also sending you out to bend and reflect My very image and My nature in the world around you. And so every man, woman, and child is holistic in that we think it is God's work to be drawing people to Himself. He's the one who decides and scopes the scope of how people respond to His love. Mm-hmm. And yet simultaneously, it's our job to participate with Him in making sure people have access to that gospel, yeah, to the good news of the gospel and God's love for them.
Yeah, in Jesus Christ. Us, it was an all, like, this is an all of life thing.
Sure.
You know, when we were talking about beginning with Summit Church, what we were processing and thinking through was, this isn't about Sunday morning. It's not about a program. It's not about a couple of hours. It's not about a service that we do. This idea of, Lord, why would You give us another day on this planet? I mean, Kyle, to your point, you know, we've been called into a relationship with the God of the universe through His Son, Jesus Christ. And we've been invited then to represent Him in the places that in His sovereignty and kindness He has put us. And not to sound overly cheesy, but we regularly talk with the folks at Summit about this. Listen, the reason the Lord has given you another day on this planet, one of two reasons. If you don't have a relationship with Him, that you could come into a relationship with Him. Or if you do have a relationship with Him, that you would live with a sense of intentionality everywhere that you go, because the gospel goes in you. You have the opportunity to represent Him. We've often said it takes each man, woman, and child to reach every man, woman, yeah, and child. It's not just a mantra for us. It's not something that we think looks good on a website or on letterhead on a stationery. Are kids still doing stationery these days?
I do.
Yeah.
Only. I'm exclusive.
Yeah. You like calligraphy and like ink, like you're dipping the feather pen in the ink, or...
It's all encompassing.
All encompassing.
Anything that you think of in regards to it, I'm in.
At the end of the day, what we were looking for was a mission statement that captured God's heart for redeeming people and God's desire to use people that He has redeemed to continue to share and show how Jesus and the gospel changes all of life.
Right.
And so that's the reason it was every man, woman, and child, with the repeated opportunity to see, hear, and respond to the gospel. Kyle, talk a little bit about the repeated opportunity piece.
Yeah, I think particularly when you're thinking about the church in the West, the church in America, and maybe even the church in the American South, the question becomes, you know, the necessity of that, or why is it needed? Why would you continue to plant churches? And what are you calling people to when you're calling them into a participation with the things God's led Summit to pursue? I think what you're inviting them into is an understanding that this was what God intended all along, that your life would be, that the people of God were always defined by His presence among them, and therefore they were always kind of set apart. This notion of the holiness and righteousness of God in the midst of His people was going to set
That's
them
right.
apart. And so that makes the gospel accessible. We talked a little bit about this in the podcast about the studying through the scriptures. Like,
yep,
we're not trying to make God relevant. We're trying to make God accessible in a culture where they've been inundated with ideas about God, about Jesus, about the Bible. They have some exposure to the church. And so accessibility to the gospel and to the things that God is doing and what God wants to do in their lives actually happens as they, their lives intersect with you, your life, what God's doing in your life, how God's changing you, and you become a proclamation of the good news of the gospel.
Yeah,
you make it accessible.
Yeah, there was an intentionality on our end, even in the wording, to talk about giving them the repeated opportunity to see, mm-hmm, and to hear. Like, I want to interact with people in such a way that they observe and see how Jesus and the gospel is changing, will continue to change my life, but I also want them to hear about it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
This isn't just about doing some good things, about being a good person. No, no. In a culture that seems to be okay with that idea of doing nice things and doing good things, we actually want to talk about, like, how do you give people the opportunity to hear about how Jesus and the gospel
is all about? This isn't our idea, but we've heard it said this way. It was, the gospel is news to be proclaimed.
That's right.
So there's a sense in which it has to be verbally articulated. Yeah. Of course, in the scope of discipleship, you want to help people understand what it means to model that kind of living.
That's
you don't
right.
want to live in a sense of hypocrisy, but it is a story to be told, good news to be declared, truth to be proclaimed. And that's actually why also we chose the phrase respond.
Yeah.
You want to give them access to see it, to hear it, to kind of wrestle with the reality of it. And then you want to call people to respond. That's still a biblical idea that you see modeled in the life of Jesus and his disciples.
And then the last part of that statement was without them having to come or go anywhere. So for us, the first part of the statement, every man, woman, and child with the repeated opportunity to see, hear, and respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ, like that is an evangelistic statement. Obviously, it is what God is up to in redeeming a people to himself. But the last part of our mission statement as a church in regards to without them having to come or go anywhere really is a discipleship statement. Because what that statement implies is the gospel goes in us. The gospel goes in our people. The gospel goes in those that we shepherd and we disciple. And so instead of in a culture that has through the years been a culture of get people into a building, get them to come to a place, and then in that place, the paid professionals can tell them about Jesus. We're looking back at our folks that we have the opportunity to shepherd, the opportunity to elder, and saying, no, 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 the gospel goes in you. Now, I'm not saying you don't invite your friend to church. That's totally
fine.
It's
not an either or.
Yeah, it's not an either or. But at the end of the day, we live in a culture now, and Kyle was just talking about this a moment ago, like we live in a culture now where there's a really good chance that your neighbor would much rather sit at your dining room table over a meal and hear about how Jesus and the gospel is changing you than come listen to me teach a message. Now, I'm still faithfully want to teach messages on Sunday morning with our folks and with guests that are there. But at the end of the day, it does put the onus on those that we shepherd and disciple to live with intentionality where the Lord has put them. So that's a little bit of the idea behind the statement of every man, woman, and child.
And to that point, I think it's especially in today's day and age where there's so many misunderstandings about scripture, about Christianity, that if somebody with those misunderstandings and beliefs about that going into a church service, you're not going to address all of those concerns and questions.
That's right.
But where those concerns can be addressed is around the table, is around you being
life on life.
Yeah, being intentional.
Yeah, and sharing life with people and believing that God's intentionality that you see all throughout Scripture, where there are interactions that happen because people are living kind of with their eyes open right where God sovereignly placed them, believing God still intends to do those kinds of things through his church. So I think it's Acts 17 and the reference in Acts 17 that God determined allotted periods of time that we would live and the boundary places where we would dwell. So God did actually intend your time of living here on this earth and where you live and the people that you would interact with. And I think it's a good reminder to always be reminded that he intended your life would be kind of a sense of gospel accessibility right in front of them, or that we would live with a mentor of ours says divine distinction. Like there would be access to the life that God is inviting us to participate in through the gospel through us.
There is something so compelling about seeing a group of people live with that divine distinction. Again, in a culture that is live for the next day, live for the moment, live for the weekend, whatever the case may be, when you see a group of people galvanize around what we would really say theologically is the purpose of the church, it's life-giving. Maybe it was Tim Keller who said one time in a message I was listening to him teach, and he said, there is a reason that you live today and not 800 years ago in the mountains of Tibet. Mm-hmm. Right? Like God in his sovereignty is allowing your story of grace to be played out in this moment in time, in this place, interacting with these people that you'll interact with today, some that you're aware of, some that you're not aware of as you go into the day. And so it has been refreshingly encouraging over the last 11 years to see how God's grown Summit with a group of people who desire to live with that sort of intentionality and divine distinction. Kyle, talk about this for a second, because I do think this is important, because what this could come across as is like, well, a lot of churches have different preferences. Like, can you take a moment, because we've talked about this through the years, like, what is the purpose of the church? Because this, for us, this mission statement hangs off of deep theological conviction. Like, you've already begun to talk about it from Genesis to Revelation, but I think we live in a culture that says, well, the church is about X or the church is about Y. And well, if that's the case, then there's going to be ramifications for how that runs itself out. Can you take a moment to talk about why we believe that the church is about what we're talking about theologically, and then obviously how it has practical ramifications?
Yeah, and I think the thing to remember is that there are multiple churches around the world, historically and to this very day, that carry the same heartbeat. 100%. They articulate it in different ways, but they carry this exact same heartbeat. And there are multiple churches throughout time and history that began and built themselves around this very heartbeat.
That's right.
But all of us have to kind of continue. I think for us, the good reminder was continue to keep it in front of yourself.
That's right.
Otherwise, there's a natural tendency to kind of drift away from it.
That's exactly right.
And I think part of the biblical basis, there are a couple places just to go, and they're not exhaustive in any way, but Ephesians, you know, in the book of Ephesians in chapters 2 and 3 and 4, you in particularly 2, 3, 4, the whole book. What am I doing? The whole book. But there's some explicit places where you see that God chose to kind of reveal the manifold wisdom of God and the beauty of the gospel and the nature of Christ's love for his bride through the church and through the relationships that exist within and outside of it and how the church engages the world.
That's
or
right.
2 Corinthians chapter 5.
Yes.
That God was in redemption, making a new creation through people who were responding to the gospel in faith. And then God was choosing to give people the ministry and the message of reconciliation,
yeah,
that they would become his ambassadors. They would, in one sense, become people who declare peace, and who declare good news and who declare the love of God in the midst of a hostile and broken world.
That's right.
And so this idea of shine like light in the darkness, or the idea that you're going to be a voice of truth in the midst of deception, or the notion that you're going to reveal the mysteries of God, that God actually designed that would happen through his people.
Yeah.
And that's really always been the case. Again, back to what happens after Genesis that you continue to see throughout the story of the Old Testament, is the defining mark was always God's presence among his people in the midst of the world, and that turned everything on its head. And now the very presence of God and the Holy Spirit,
yeah,
empowering his people to live with intentionality where they are, and that collective group of people, the church, on mission with him, participating in the things that he's always been doing, and he's the only one who can accomplish them anyway.
Yeah. Quickly, we got a couple minutes left. I think a lot of people might hear the mission statement and agree with all of it and get really nervous about the here piece of that. So, I got to proclaim it?
Mm.
How would you come alongside and encourage people who maybe don't feel super comfortable talking about what it is that they believe? How would you encourage those people to work through that and to encourage them to actually do that, take that next step?
Good question, Brandon.
Thank you.
Yeah, I think it's a good question. I think it's one that everybody has to wrestle with at some point in time.
Yeah.
I think there's a few things. One is, and a lot of our folks and a lot of people we've been discipled by in our own lives and the churches we grew up in, taught us something that sometimes feels, at least initially, like it feels like a cop-out, or it feels like it's not really a step toward that direction. But I think there's a great value in learning to pray for people who don't know the Lord that your life is connected to by name on a regular basis.
Yeah.
Because there's something that happens when you start to pray for those people by name, and you're asking that God would allow you to be a vehicle with which those people have the opportunity to hear the gospel, that you would proclaim it, that God starts to build and increase a confidence because your love for that person's deepening.
That's right.
In that desire. And then I think it's not unlike a lot of other things that we have a tendency to be hesitant about. It's practice.
Yeah.
It's okay to trust that this God who has been calling people to himself thousands of years before we existed, and who will continue to do so as long as he pleases, is the only one who can actually redeem a life from death to newness of life, yeah. who can bring someone to an understanding of the gospel. And so therefore the burden is not on you to argue them into heaven. It's not on you to convince them of the gospel. It's That's not right. on you to actually wax eloquently so that they have no objections left. It's on you to bear witness to give testimony to proclaim what your understanding and experience is, but rooted in the scriptures. Just share the word.
Yeah.
Like even starting to, we have a friend who writes out scriptures, who writes out his own story of what God's done in his life, and he shares it with people on Facebook and through email. And so some of it might just be start new habits of practice and see what God does with it.
Yeah, I think those are all important keys to it, to be honest with you. I think it's living in the reality that God's redeeming people to himself. And in so some ways, I say this in the best way possible, like the pressure's off in regards to you having to say something spectacular, right? Or be winsome. You know, I've had the opportunity to sit with several people that have decided that they would like to follow Jesus, you know, with their life. And I've never walked away from any of those conversations or moments thinking, man, I was pretty great there. I came up with some pretty good stuff. And I think to Kyle's point, like we talk about this a lot at Summit, your story of grace, the story of grace that God is writing in and through your life is critically important. And you articulating that is a great way to give people the opportunity to hear how Jesus and the gospel changes all of life.
Yeah. And to just know, like, it is awkward. Like there's awkwardness, and that's okay.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
It's okay for things to
for
be
sure.
awkward and tough sometimes.
At times.
Yeah. Good things. Yeah. We got 30 seconds real quick.
Yes. We made it through another pod.
Yeah. Real quick. Yeah. People want to know, hey, how can I send in questions? We have a new email address.
Yes.
podcast@summitupstate.org. podcast@summitupstate.org. Email us your questions. Funny, silly, serious?
We're going to do a question. We'll do a question show or two, right?
Yeah, we will. Yeah, totally.
Answer those. Maybe at the end of the show, we can answer one. But then sometimes maybe we just take questions and we answer.
But here's the one real quick, 20 seconds. So you guys just recently got back from Brazil, but I want to know, what's the best international meal you guys have ever had?
Best international meal? Listen, Kyle East up, and he's his own words, he's been known to cry over a good meal.
Yeah.
I'll let him take this one. Because there's two types of people in the world, Brandon. There's those who live to eat, and then there are those who eat to live.
Yeah.
And I live to eat.
Kyle lives to eat.
I'll let him
take
it.
This one. Go ahead, Kyle.
Yeah.
It's probably somewhere in Italy. But
I love
ahead,
it
Kyle.
So much, this is a really hard question for me to answer. And so I will say, most likely, that the best meal, and Mr. Malone was there.
Yeah.
It was at a farm in Italy.
Yeah.
And they
an Italian farm.
An Italian
it's
farm.
Called the Olive Garden. I kid, kids. I kid.
Woo.
It was spectacular. That's all I'm going to say about that.
Great. I love it.
Yeah.
Hey, we're out of time. We got 2 seconds. Drive 10 and 2.
10 and 2. Click it or ticket. Be safe out there,
bye.
Kids.
Bye-bye.